Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Last week, I wanted to look more carefully at the George Soros connection to the Obama White House and the concern we have that Soros is indirectly guiding Obama's foreign policy. An example of that is our involvement in Libya and how we got there. Justified by the Soros intervention doctrine called responsibility to protect, I intend to explain that today. And I hope I'll have time to pick up on some other issues of concern to all God-fearing patriots as we get ready for an all-new, fresh, invigorating, thought-provoking brain massage show. Oh, mercy. Libya, oh Libya, named in the word of the prophets of the Creator, God of all nations. Libya, you will join in league with Gog, and the land of those with Gog, together with Persia, which is Iran, and Ethiopia, to rise up against Israel. The Middle East pot is boiling. What is getting cooked in the pot? Now that's the question. Is it about democracy? That word is thrown around very loosely, you know. You hear it and you think of America, which is one of the greatest triumphs of socialism in America, a major win for the left in the rhetoric war. The use of words, by the way, to shape public perception or sentiment and policy and so on. Probably most of you hearing me think the word democracy is a word that describes our nation, and you associate it in almost a one-to-one correspondence to concepts like liberty and freedom and even justice. What you need to know is that democracy was almost as much despised by our founders as tyranny. What we have here in America is representative republic, not a democracy. And the differences are significant. That is the reason communism likes to put on the face of democracy. You see, it likes to pretend it's about the rule of the people, the proletariat, you know, the working man, as distinct from those who employ their labor, as, you know, as if those guys don't work. Anyway, it's actually about the super rich, my friends, resenting the competition posed by the middle class, small business owners, the bourgeois, you know. Democracy has been co-opted by the communists in their pretense that communism is all for the people, the downtrodden, the little guy. It's a ruse, it's a trick, it's a lie. The fact is, the super rich use communism as a way to take control of the economy, to eliminate competition, to control all the wealth of a nation, and turn all laborers into slaves of the elite class. The fact is, Iran pretends to be democratic. Did you know that? Mubarak, yeah, he ruled under that pretense. Chavez rules like a tyrant behind the mask of democracy. Listen, Stalin committed his slaughter of millions wearing the mask of democracy. Oh, yeah, remember? Actually, you probably never even learned this in school. You've been so duped. God help our kids growing up in America's communist indoctrination centers called public schools. That might be a bit overstated, but not much. In fact, it's probably not overstated at all right now. You never heard of Soviet democracy? You were not told that the Soviet Union boasted that it was the only true democratic system of governance, huh? Maybe lately you've been told that. They've begun to sneak that out there, you know, now that they have convinced you that the word democracy is a metonym for freedom and liberty. Now they'll tell you, oh, by the way, you know, Russia was a democracy. The word Soviet means council, and the Soviet Union was a union of worker councils who sent delegates, called Soviets, to a parliament. These Soviets, sent as delegates from the councils, represented the democratic will of the working people. Oh, and we saw how much freedom they enjoyed. That's what they want to do in America, these unions. They're the councils, you see, of the workers. And their democratic will is expressed through their Soviets, their union bosses. Listen, this is the reason the unions are flipping out right now, because their game has been exposed. Their Soviet-style tyrannical hold on the economy and government is being challenged, and this upsets the super-rich, the elitists, who long ago realized that true wealth is not in the mere accumulation of money. It is in the control of the wealth of nations. If you control the wealth of a nation, then you have the ultimate power in and over that nation. This is the game Soros plays. He manipulates money, currency, to gain control of the wealth of a nation. And this way he leverages his few billions into power to wield some real influence, huh? Oh yeah, it's the love of money, baby, not the money. And they love it because it gives them power, Gollum, Gollum. They leverage money into power to control the wealth of nations. And hey, the proletariat is not a threat to them. They control those guys. It's the bourgeois. You know, with his annoying tendency to take control of some measure of capital and to compete with the goal of super rich to control the wealth. These independents, you know, they can exercise their own ingenuity to build wealth independent of their control. This vast network of small businessmen and women who inspire some to imagine they can compete with the big boys. They get in the way. They think like independent thinkers, you know. They act like independents. They act like they actually own something, They can't be controlled so easily. They are free. But I digress. So the question is, are these people who are crying for democracy simply representing groups who use democracy as a tool to destroy the middle class and oppress the poor? Let's put the question in another light. Are the so-called pro-democracy protesters in the Arab world motivated by a passion, a core belief and soul commitment to the principle of freedom for all, or only freedom for them, so they can, you know, take their turn at being the oppressor? Is it about the right of the people to determine what government they will support? You know, consent of the governed, all of that? Or is it yet more complex? As Gates and Rumsfeld have said, is it complex? I believe it is complex. I am sure that there are significant numbers of people, individuals, and groups participating in these uprisings and protests who are inspired by the ideal of representative government under laws that recognize the principle of inalienable rights. And by the way, while Obama wants you to believe his universal rights is the same thing, you know, essentially as inalienable rights, it's another of his lies. And you know what a liar he is, so don't be fooled by his rhetorical tricks. They have taken liberty and connected it with democracy in a rhetorical device. And so, you know, now you think they're the same thing, when in fact, our founders despised democracy, and Lenin and Stalin used democracy to enslave, well, I guess most of the world by now. Don't let Obama come along and make you think universal rights are the same thing as inalienable rights. Quit falling for these tricks. He's fooling you. He's deceiving you. Universal rights are those universally recognized by, well, for Obama, by the UN, and granted and supported by the arms of government alone, so that the government decides what are your rights, and the government alone has the power of arms to impose its will upon the people to enforce those rights. The concept of inalienable rights is different. It's fundamentally different from this. It's not a collective thing. It's an individual and personal thing. Inalienable rights are decreed to every man, every individual, by his creator, which is something that phony Obama, who pretends to be a Christian, fundamentally rejects, by the way. Inalienable rights are intrinsically connected with the individual and that individual being created in the image and likeness of God, the creator. And they belong to every individual equally. And as such, grants to each individual equally the power and the right to defend those fundamental God-ordained rights. These include life. And that means no other human has the right to take away your life unless you have forfeited that right by taking it from another. And liberty. Once again, each individual has a right and a responsibility to defend his liberty unless and until he has deprived liberty of another. You see what I mean? Anyway, are those protesting in Libya fighting to secure liberty and justice for all, or only for their little group? I believe some are, but I also recognize many are not. Many are simply wanting a change in tyrants. It's a battle over who gets to be dictator. It's about what team gets to rule the other. Sort of like our turn, you know? Kind of like what's going on in America between liberals and conservatives. The liberals think it's the turn of the poor and oppressed to oppress the rich. It's foolishness. It's nonsense. Oppression's wrong no matter who does it. It's happened in America, my friend. It's no longer about freedom and liberty and justice for all. It's about which party gets to have the power to oppress the other. Well, the Tea Party's changing all that, we hope. Anyway, the Muslim Brotherhood is working to bring down the independent dictators in the region and willing to use democracy to accomplish this because, being good students of bloody Stalin, they know it is not who votes that counts, but who counts the votes. Eh? So it is complex, and sadly, it is becoming increasingly apparent that the complexion is Soviet red. You know, Iran, with their buddies China and Russia, will stand to gain significantly from the events unfolding in the Middle East. At least as these events are being guided by the U.S. influence under Obama's marionette George Soros. Let me explain. Well, you know what? I got to take a break. When I get back, we will explore this whole thing more carefully and expose the Soros connection.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
Invading the territory usurped by the devil through lies and liars, Pastor Scheibach is charging the gates of hell. He wants to know if you've got his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Hey, by the way, is your church lighting the lanterns in their church belfry arch? Is your church in the fight? Or is it on the sidelines and perhaps even working for the other side? Is it giving place to the devil by compromise, afraid to boldly speak to issues that are clearly threatening our liberty? Or is yours among the churches charging the gates of hell, challenging the devil's territory? I never understood some of you folks, these characters who complain, sometimes even to me, about how weak their church is, who tell me how frustrated they are with their compromise, their unwillingness to take a clear stand, their equivocating, crawfishy, mamby-pamby, milquetoast preachers whose God is their belly, who labor to stroke the flesh and put the spirit and mind to sleep. Get out of those opium dens. Oh, yeah, put your support behind a real church. Get in the fight. Anyway, I'm not joking. I asked my research team, and by the way, we just added another research division. Jim and Debbie Kaufman will help me keep up on local issues in the various cities where we broadcast. Welcome. I asked my team to dig into the responsibility to protect policy and the one Obama used to justify committing American military to the Libya situation. The responsibility to protect doctrine essentially says that when human rights are being grossly violated by a sovereign government, the international community has a responsibility to intervene. I have the full text of that document delineating the arguments for and against and the conclusion in favor of such intervention, and it's available to you. You can go to responsibilitytoprotect.org, all one word. This organization is commissioned to propagate and promote this doctrine among the members of the UN and NATO and, well, everywhere. It's called the International Coalition for the Responsibility to Protect. And from their website, they tell us, R2P is a new international security and human rights norm to address the international community's failure to prevent and stop genocides, war crimes, ethnic cleansing, and crimes against humanity, end quote. And then also, quote, the International Coalition for the Responsibility to Protect brings together NGOs. By the way, an NGO is a non-government organization, NGO, that, among other groups, lobby the UN and so on to promote their causes. So anyway, quote, the International Coalition for the Responsibility to Protect brings together NGOs from all regions of the world to strengthen normative consensus for R2P, or Right to Protect. Further the understanding of the norm, push for strengthened capacities to prevent and halt genocide, war crimes, ethnic cleansing, and crimes against humanity, and mobilize NGOs to push for action to save lives in R2P country-specific situations, end quote. Back when Kofi Annan was Secretary General of the UN, 1997 to 2006, he pushed the UN to adopt some policy that would address situations like Rwanda. For example, he said, quote, "If humanitarian intervention is indeed an unacceptable assault on sovereignty, how should we respond to Rwanda, to Srebrenica, to gross and systematic violations of human rights that affect every precept of our common humanity," end quote. And so this coalition for Right to Protect was put together in response to that. Now look, I got to clear something up. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert! You've heard me refer to our common human responsibility to intervene against murderous thugs like Stalin, Pol Pot, Mao Tse, Tung. And don't forget Hitler, Mr. Soros. Don't forget Hitler. You've heard me declare the sentiment of God on this subject. Quote, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" End quote. That's Proverbs 24, 11, and 12, by the way. And remember, the good book tells us that the almighty sovereign God of creation has put the sword of judgment into the hand of the powers that be and charged them with the responsibility to execute wrath upon evildoers. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Romans 13, 1 to 6. Read it. Listen, the Bible says he is God's minister, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil, end quote. The question is whether neighboring countries have the authority to compromise the national sovereignty of a neighboring country by intervening into their national affairs on behalf of those being trampled upon by bloodthirsty tyrants like Pol Pot, Stalin, the mullahs of Iran, and more recently, Gaddafi. Do we dare infringe upon national sovereignty in the interests of humanitarian concerns? It is certainly appropriate to jealously guard national sovereignty. I'm all for that. But you had better remember who gave you the sword and what he told you to do with it. And you'd better not forget there is a sovereign above national sovereignty, the sovereign God, whose son, Jesus Christ, whose resurrection we celebrate this weekend, is given all power in heaven and in earth. And he ponders the hearts of those who stood by and watched as Rwandans were butchered, as Stalin purged Russia, and as Pol Pot made red the killing fields of Cambodia. So I am certainly one who believes it is morally wrong to sit idly by while the likes of a Pol Pot or Stalin or their ilk in modern times wearing turbans or robes or suits or uniforms go in there and kill and butcher innocent people in genocide and ethnic cleansing and things like this. And yet, isn't it interesting how these who spout this doctrine of intervention called the responsibility to protect select who they will protect and who they will abandon to tyrants' rage? You know, let them murder protesters in Syria, yawn. Let them murder protesters in Iran, Let them murder protesters in China, remember Tiananmen Square? But Gaddafi's Libya and Mubarak's Egypt? Now, these are different things, huh? You see, they were enemies of Allah. Keep up, class. Gaddafi's gotta go. Oh yeah, Mubarak needed to go. But what is coming in their place? Why are we supporting these regime changes but not supporting the democracy forces in Iran and elsewhere? Or are we? You see, America is not monolithic. There are forces operating in America at cross purposes to one another. I don't know if you realize it or not, but it's true. It's not always the case that when America acts, it acts with one purpose or even with a unified motive or with the same goals. There are general overarching principles that, and we are in a battle right now, by the way, between those in our country who represent the older, more traditional, founder-compatible principles against this newer, rising challenge by the likes of Obama and his crowd. And some in our government, operating within the system, are attempting to keep the ship of state steered in the direction of our founders, while others are, indeed, fighting for control to turn the ship of state in the direction of Stalin, Pol Pot, Mao Tse-Tung, and are even willing to express openly their admiration for these murderers. So it's really not so simple as to say America wants to intervene in Libya in order to get oil, or in order to support the protesters who want genuine liberty, or in order to protect civilians from the murder mayhem of a monster. Because there are proponents pushing for intervention representing all of these motivations, and sometimes even a combination of these motivations. So let's look through all of this, shall we? Let's look deep. Let us look specifically at Libya. The origin of the protest against Gaddafi was in two specific areas of Libya, or actually one corridor there. These areas are dominated by the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh, yeah. Most of this information, by the way, comes from a West Point study put together back in December of 07. And while it's certainly true, things can change in a period of 3 years, I think you'll agree, or 4 years, I think you'll agree that the demographics of the place that is the center of the protests in Libya really haven't changed that dramatically over the last 3 or 4 years. The corridor that runs from Benghazi, by the way, where women and children are jumping from bridges to their deaths to flee the wanton killing rampages of Gaddafi's mercenaries, but from Benghazi to Tobruk, passing through the infamous city of Darna, by the way, infamous for the number of suicide bombers that are recruited from that city, this entire area, quote, represents one of the greatest concentrations of jihadi terrorists to be found anywhere in the world, end quote. We are told, quote, it can be regarded as the leading source of suicide bombers anywhere on the planet, end quote. Saudi Arabia took first place in the absolute number of jihadists that were recruited to go into Iraq to fight and kill American soldiers. But Libya, which is less than one-fourth of the population of Saudi Arabia, produced 18.8% of the Mujahideen fighters, which is sort of redundant. But anyway, the Mujahideen. Percentage-wise, most of the terrorists and most of the fighters from outside Iraq that went to fight American soldiers came from Libya, not from the government, not from Gaddafi, mind you, but from this particular area of Libya, the demographic center of the anti-Gaddafi revolt. Quote, as Daya Gamage of the Asia Tribune comments in a recent article in the West Point study, alarmingly for Western policymakers, most of the fighters came from eastern Libya, the center of the current uprising against Muammar al-Gaddafi, end quote. When you look at Libya, the jihadist strongholds are Benghazi and especially Adarna. And did you know that Benghazi is, again, quote, the capital of Libya's provisional government declared by the anti-Gaddafi rebels, end quote. Who are we supporting over there? Isn't it interesting that Obama and the UN have chosen to ignore the freedom fighters of Iran and even today betray regularly a veiled resentment for the accomplishments of Bush in Iraq? Isn't it interesting that he and his soulmates, Obama and his soulmates in the UN, show little more than begrudged interest in the freedom fighters in Syria? But as soon as the UN jumped on Libya, well, hey, Obama was in, baby. I mean, even after he said right out loud in front of God and everybody that a no-fly zone would be untenable, something he would not support, right? As soon as the UN declared a no-fly zone, he flipped on that like a landed mackerel on a pier plank. Who pulled him in? Well, we know that Samantha Powers is his security advisor on human rights issues, and that she is on a few boards with Soros, and especially connected to the International Coalition on the Responsibility to Protect, which, by the way, Soros funds. In fact, it could rightly be said he is personally responsible for its existence. And isn't it interesting that when Obama did decide to weigh in on the Libya thing, he touted the Soros doctrine called the Responsibility to Protect, not appealing to the sovereignty of God Almighty, no, appealing to the power of his demigod Soros, the maniac, the megalomaniac. You know, it's amazing, this character, Soros, spouts the responsibility to protect doctrine, funds the coalition that promotes it, and he decides when it's applied, apparently. Now, here's a man who profited from America's financial crisis. I mean, he made mega bucks on it. I mean, huge. He's also known for, and personally admits, yeah, that he's culpable for manipulating currencies in a few countries, quite a few of them, actually, to destroy those countries' economies. And he's attempting to do the same thing right here, by the way, causing huge grief and misery and pain to millions upon millions of people. And this guy uses this R2P doctrine to protect innocent people. Excuse me? He's a liar. He has built his fortune on the backs of people he's ripped off. He is using this coalition and this intervention doctrine selectively to further his own agenda, which you might think is just to make money, but really is to bring the world into a global government. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, he's screaming about conspiracies. Yeah, that's true. Now, here's a guy who as a young Jew, okay, during Nazi Germany, rationalized to the excusing of his conscience his own assistance of the Nazis to pillage fellow Jews and even to participate in sending them to death camps. delivering the messages. They called them the herald. Anyway, and when asked if he felt any compunction for his part in that, he didn't say what normal people would say. Yeah, I struggled with it, but, you know, it was a situation and, whatever. Nah, he never felt any responsibility. He never felt any guilt, never felt any compunction about it at all. That's weird. And when he was asked whether he's ever felt any compunction or conscience for the misery he has caused millions by manipulating the currencies of, I don't know, four or five different countries and causing them to collapse or enter into economic crisis, he says, well, I just did it for the money. Never bothered him. You see, and by the way, this business about him doing it only for the money, that's a lie. He does it to break down national sovereignty in as many nations as he can in an effort to pave the way for the rise of the beast, the one world government. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? It has happened again. I'm sorry I did not get to some of the things I wanted to address. I got this from my research team where the UN, look at this, the UN has passed a resolution to recognize Mother Nature as human rights. You know, right? Mother Earth has rights. You got to be kidding me. These people cannot be taken seriously. Maybe I'll get a chance to speak more to this human rights for the Earth business next week, but maybe in some of my one-minute shows. But I've got to address this in conclusion for the show today. It's got my blood boiling over. California's Department for Transportation says, displaying the American flag in a monument to honor our vets is a political statement. Oh, really? What's that exactly, a political statement? Well, legally, a political statement would be an assertion made verbally or non-verbally about government policy or government actions, as opposed, say, to such assertions that might be made about somebody's private company or his individual behavior. Sometimes political statements are made with flags, right? As when some ungrateful protester burns it or walks on it or spits on it or whatever. But it's never been considered a political statement to display the flag of our nation until recently. Now, apparently, someone at Caltrans thinks that displaying the American flag no longer represents the patriotism felt by all Americans generally, but now that it only represents one particular political point of view of some Americans. Really? Who are the Americans for whom waving the flag is a political statement? You know what? It's the same dirty crowd that has that wants to burn it. All right. Anyway, that wraps up another stimulating, invigorating brain massage. Time to cool down. Take some deep breaths. Let it all out. There you go. Now, drink a lot of water, by the way. It's very important. And then pray. Easter services this week at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. You're invited. Join us 9:30 for our morning Bible study, where you'll learn that the word Easter is not a pagan term. Oh, yeah. And then come to our church service, where we will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And Sunday night, we'll talk about the great declaration he made. It'll tie into my show today, by the way, on the truth that he is the power, the sovereign power over all. Now, call me at 1-888-770-8000. That number is 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a toll-free call to anyone within the continental United States. I've got a lot of listeners outside the country. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of you listen in the United Kingdom and Canada, a lot of listeners in those places, all over the place, India, Cambodia. We have quite a few listeners in Cambodia, even China, by the way, quite a few listeners in China and so on, all around. And I'd like you to contact me via the email address. Just go to thebrainmassageshow.com, and I know you're internet savvy, that's how you get the show. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com, and you'll see a contact us button in the top right menu. Click on that and give me a lights on or a lights off, and then give me your message and let me know what you think about the show. Call me if you can here in the continental United States, 1-888-770-8000, and say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree, and hang up if you're in a hurry. Otherwise, leave me a message. I'll call you back if you ask me to, and write back if you ask me to. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.